All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we're going to continue. Last week, we were talking, going through some of our swipe files, some of the old copy that we like to set aside and stuff away in those file drawers. And we're going to dig some more out today, I think.
Yeah, and actually, one of the ones I just got in the mail yesterday.
Oh, fresh.
And it kind of stood out. And it's from a company who reliably puts out really good copy. So even though I don't know if this was like some, you know, huge success or whatever, because I've only gotten it once so far, but it's a very, every time they put out copy, it's always good. So I thought it was, it got my attention yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I figured I knew we were doing the show, I'd bring it on. And then I've got one that is a 30 plus year control.
Ooh. Okay.
So
curious.
So brand new and control that's been around for a long time, just, you know, minor tweaks and updates. Mm-hmm. So yeah, both good. Of these are direct mail. So not online stuff, but still
something good old, something new.
Nothing borrowed, nothing blue. So, all right. Well, speaking of founders, why don't you, tell the people what you got, and then I'm going to spring a good one on you.
Ooh, I can't wait. Yeah. You teased it. I saw part of the bottle, but you didn't show me the label.
Yeah.
But I got the returning guest from our last episode, which is, yes. Founders, the CBS Imperial Stout. So, to my pleasure, to my amazement, it started out really sweet, but it's gotten better over time. And I don't know if that's just the alcohol or the fact that it's just, you know, it's aired out a little and it's gotten better. Maybe that's the case, but so far I don't like it enough to buy this on a regular basis, obviously with the price tag, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. When you get into those individual bottles, they can get pretty expensive, pretty fast.
Yeah.
So mine is, so if you imagine, what is one of the things that comes around every year that you kind of forget about, but when you remember that it's that time, or when someone reminds you that it's that time, you're like, oh yes, whoops, sign me up. Uh-huh. What do you think that I'll give you a hint. Give me like 10 boxes, two of those, three of those.
Girl Scout cookies.
There you go. There you go.
Is it that time?
My beer? No, but my beer.
Okay.
Is a thin mint stout.
Oh, which is my favorite cookie from Girl Scouts.
Exactly.
Love it.
Mine too. Right. So yeah. So it's from Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. And it says, once a year we ravage through those bright boxes of delectable cookies. Oh, if we are lucky, they last till April, then withdrawal sets in. What if there are a way to have our cookies and drink them too?
Ooh.
Tasty notes, bright, invigorating aromatics of fresh mint greet your nose. Chocolate follows secondary from the roasty stout base. Vanilla was added to enrich the perception of creamy chocolate. The mint and cocoa retain their presence throughout the palate with a strong backbone to hold the mint up.
Wow.
And
I'm impressed.
ABV is like 8.2. Mm-hmm. IBU is 30. And I was saying, like, the bottle has got like the actual wax dipped top.
Oh yeah. I mean, that makes it even
like Maker's Mark except black. So yeah, I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this all week. This is also one of those, not as pricey as yours, but it's like $12 for the bottle.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's really not a lot more than
those. I think Founders adds about $12 to the, to the price on mine.
So based on how much came out, so it's really like two glasses. So it's, you know, that'd be like a Founders four pack, right? They're usually 18 to 20 bucks, sure, something like that. So you get two drinks out of this for $12. It's no more than going to a night out on the town. And since we can't do that anymore,
no doubt.
We'll just have it here. So,
you know, I liked on that copy, oh, they used a question. Look at that. There's no head on that.
I know, but you know what? It smells exactly like Thin Mints.
Oh, does it?
Yes. Oh, man. I may not even drink it. I may just sniff it. You know, when you get the Thin Mints open and you're like, oh,
So when quarantine's over and you get a, you run into a Girl Scout who's selling these cookies, you're just like, sorry, I've got the beer.
Yeah, sorry. You know, I think we ordered cookies and I don't think we ever got them because all this stuff happened and they never got delivered. I'm going to have to check on that. That may be the biggest scam of the year right there.
We got your money, but we can't deliver. Sorry.
Can't get within 6 feet. I'll be like, toss them. That's fine. Just toss them.
I don't care. Send, yeah, exactly. FedEx them.
All right. So, well, cheers. I know you already like yours. You're eating your peanuts there.
Yep. Yeah, I got to offset the the maple syrup with a little peanuts here. Here we go.
All right.
All right. So what do you think?
Definitely got that thin mint taste. I mean, it's thin mint and beer, so it's a little weird, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think I like the smell better, but the taste is pretty good.
Okay.
It's maybe not great. It needs
to breathe a little too.
Yeah, probably so. Like, I've noticed like some of these like really flavored beers, like the peanut butters and the things like that. Like that first sip is just really strong on whatever that key flavor is.
Right.
And then it kind of mellows after about 10, 15 minutes. So
what's the company?
Buffalo Bayou. I think they're out of Houston is what I saw. I think they're actually like a brewery, like a restaurant and brewery.
Mm.
So yeah, it's good stuff.
Cool.
And they have all kinds of, they have a gingerbread stout. That would probably be good.
Mm-hmm.
Red velvet stout, black raz stout.
Might try that red velvet for sure.
Yeah.
Now, where did you find this at Total Wine or where?
No, this was at HEB in the singles section. Okay. So
gotcha. But
they might. So yeah, I don't know if it's a Texas only thing or if it's a, because I think, like I said, they're in Houston. So,
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're Houston. So they may or may not be nationwide. It kind of looks like the pictures on the site looks kind of like a Smoky Mountain Brewery type thing. So
nice.
All righty. Well, let's dive into some swipe files. We had a great guest on last episode. If you haven't gotten a chance to listen to that, take a listen to Abby. We talked about voice and the 9 different types of voice. Like it was one of the best breakdowns of voice and in copy that I've heard anybody talk about.
Oh yeah. No doubt. It's
good stuff. Good stuff. So, and she even brought whiskey on the show. That's a good guest right there.
I know. She outdid both of us. I mean, we were like, okay,
I was drinking Hummingbird beer on the last one. I don't know what I was. I don't know what happened.
Cute little can with the flowers.
Like, yeah. That was sad. So, all right. Who's going first here? I've got a,
all right,
an envelope.
Your stack. Okay. Let's start with your stack. I started right, last.
So I'm going to start with one I got in the mail yesterday. It's a health promotion. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I'm also writing right now with one of the companies I'm working with. We were doing a health promotion today around 5G and all that stuff, the whole 5G conspiracy. So that was kind of fun to dip into some of the swipes. And then I got this in the mail yesterday, and it's first of all, the format is the kind of the Magalog style, so where it looks kind of like a magazine, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are 24 pages. So they're pretty thick, not thick, but you know, it's a lot of copy for sure, but they're written like a magazine so that you can kind of scan through them and see if there's anything that catches your eye. And what I've noticed about these is they do have kind of a flow from top to bottom, where they'll cover different areas, but you could really dive in anywhere on these.
Sure.
And then if you're interested, you'll kind of go back and reread and all that kind of stuff. And this sells a supplement, as a lot of them do. So you can just turn straight to the back and figure out what the supplement is. You know, it's amazing. They send out these big old, to tell you how well these kind of things work, they send out this big old Magalog. And then they have these supplements, and you can go on and find basically the same supplement on Amazon for like half the price.
Yeah.
As soon as you get it. And there's a couple of brands out there that I'm sure that's that's their whole market is people who don't want to pay full price for the newsletter supplements.
Right.
Because they're across the board half the price of everybody else.
Yep.
Which still leaves them plenty of room for profit. So this one was called The Naked Truth About Stem Cells. Mm. And I've heard about stem cells. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, it's, you and I are both kind of into fitness and health. Yep. So I was like, oh, stem cells, that's pretty cool. I'm a little disappointed that I'm getting health things in the mail now. And this is not like one of my seeded names, because I put different initials like on the address. Mm-hmm. So I know if I'm on a list, and this one just came to me with none of those initials. So I think I'm apparently getting old.
Yep. But listen, I'm getting ARP. I'm getting ARP mail. So I mean, well, it's eventually going to happen.
Yeah. Well, the good news is this is about stem cells and about how to stay young forever, basically. Yep. So I'm going to get ahead of the curve and order the supplement for sure. It doesn't say that because it can't say that, but that's what it hints at. Right. So stem cells in the headline, like The Naked Truth About Stem Cells, that was okay to me. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was about stem cells, I was like, okay, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know about it. I want to learn a little bit more about it. And because I know that these types of, even though I know it's a sales letter, mm-hmm. I know that this type of format, they just have all just tons of like research and little bits of data and all that kind of stuff to where I can actually learn something at the same time. And I think that's one of the things that makes these powerful is that people know when they read these, they know it's a sales letter, but they also know they're going to learn something.
Absolutely.
So they're going to be a little smarter. So next time they're having coffee with a friend, they can talk intelligently about stem cells. Right. So.
And they always get the doctor on that.
This one's Dr. Sears.
Okay.
So he's kind of in that Agora world, a lot of the same copywriters, things like that. He's down in the same part of the country down in South Florida, I believe. But the thing that got me was I opened the thing and the opening lines, you know, the opening lines are really important in copy.
Yep.
And it says a new type of stem cell therapy unleashes your body's existing but dormant supply of stem cells. Mm. So you can reverse the signs of and symptoms of aging and maximize your health and vitality. So what I liked about this is a lot of supplements talk about what you're missing and how you need to add this because it's not in your food and all these different things, right? You need more protein, you need more magnesium, you need more, you know, whatevers. Mm-hmm. So it's all about what's missing and then you have to add it in and things like that. So I thought what was cool is like, this was not, he opened this, whoever the writer was, he or she opened this with, there's something that's existing in your body and it's just dormant.
Yeah.
So as soon as I read, but dormant, I was like, ooh, potential.
Yeah.
Right. So all I need is just something to flip the switch. It's like going into a room that the light's off, right? And just flip the switch. Mm-hmm. That sounds a lot easier than like rewiring the light and all, or changing the light bulb or anything like that. Right. I just got to flip that dormant switch.
Yep.
So that's what hooked me was just that opening line. Okay. Here's these stem cells. I've heard about them. And there's something in my body already that I can just, you know, flip the switch and get them working again. So then it caused me to start looking through and flipping through and, you know, like one of the headlines is, more important than blood. Mm-hmm. So like, that's a pretty big claim. So let me dip in there and read about that. Yep. And you know, I kind of dipped in there. And then, I think the other big one was, that it's stem cells are the largest, where was it? It's like the largest organ in your body. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Scientists found a new organ, but it might not be what you're expecting. Mm-hmm. So basically there's the interstitium, the largest organ we never knew we had. So it's got all these like third party quotes right here about this new discovery and this new organ right? So again, if I'm just flipping through and I want to feel smart and I want to impress my friends, I'm going to read about this new organ, hopefully before they do. Mm-hmm. So the next time we meet, I can talk, hey, have you heard about the new organ they found in our bodies?
Right.
And they'll be like, no, Sean,
realize. Yeah.
Tell me more, Sean. You're so wise.
I did not know there was another organ.
And I'll be like, yeah, let me tell you about it. It's called the interstitium. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff that is just enough to mm-hmm. keep you reading. And then you're like, well, next thing you know, you're sold. Like, you're just like, you know, well, obviously I've got to take care of this organ that I didn't know existed. And like, then he goes on, he just, you know, talks about why it's dormant and how it sends signals to your other organs about how to convert cells into the right types of cells. I mean, that's what stem cells basically are. They can basically morph into any other type of cell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I have not ordered yet, but I probably will order the supplement as soon as I find a half price brand.
Yeah.
But it sold me on, so that's interesting that it sold me on the idea, but it did not sell me necessarily on their supplement.
Right.
Which is a good thing to notice. Like, what could they have done to keep me, mm-hmm. you know, only buying theirs? I know they talk about some things like the purity and things like that of their blends, but
they could have said something like, this is not available.
Well, I mean, they say world's first supplement specifically formulated to kick your interstitium into gear, mm-hmm. but you know, they list the supplements that are, I mean, the things that are in it. And the truth is there's not much there that you can't get elsewhere.
Right.
But it's the blend. It's really the blend that they're selling. Cause they do, like, here's a price comparison. They show all the different things that you need
right
down here and what it would cost to buy them individually. Mm-hmm. And then what it costs to buy it in this supplement as one, which is a pretty good idea.
Yeah. That's...
But what I'll do is I'll go look for something similar, mm-hmm. close enough. That's, you know, even less price. Right. Cause
in other words,
this isn't too bad. This is only like $30. So I may just end up buying this one.
It's a one-stop shop where you don't have to,
right.
You know, for one thing, it shows you the price comparison, but then it also shows you, okay, you have to go out and find all of these different things.
Yep.
You know,
to get
the effect out of one.
Yeah. And swallow 8 different pills every day instead of one.
Right.
So there really is a magic pill.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of mine. I've got another, but I'll let you go next.
Oh, I got a great follow-up to that one.
All right. It's like we planned it.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
Speaking in the world of health. So this was dated. I mean, this goes back to like 2000. I think this is like 2011. Okay. You know, 'cause I'm digging back into the archives. But this is it says a tiny pill that could put your doctor out of business by 2012. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So, and then the subheadline is Florida company develops what experts call the end of medicine. Could be the last time you suffer from, could this be the last time you suffer from joint pain, stomach disorders, and other chronic conditions? Experts say yes. So, to me, the most powerful part of this is not, the headline's not bad, but the subheadline is what really intrigues me more than the actual headline itself.
And what was the subhead again?
Subhead, Florida company develops what experts call the end of medicine. End of medicine.
Wow, an expert said it.
You don't know who these experts are. It's actually got a picture of this guy. He's right here. He's one of the experts. He's a doctor.
He's got a white coat.
Seriously, right.
Like I was Dr. talking Fauci. To somebody. I was talking to somebody in about the white coat and things like that, and they've split tested that 100 different ways. I think Brian Kirsch, when he was on, mentioned that too.
The white coat always wins. Right?
Yeah, the white coat always wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like just hands down. And that's funny because so many people that buy these supplements don't trust doctors and big medicine. But the lab coat still works.
Yeah, this is a Dr. Earl Mundall. Earl Mundall. Yeah. Okay. So
I have a couple of his books.
Do you really?
Yeah. He's a vitamin guy. Like he was the vitamin guy probably back then for sure.
Okay. So there you go. He's got credibility then. Okay. So the full sub headline, Florida company develops what experts call the end of medicine. Then they preface it with a question. They add on a question. Could this be the last time you suffer from joint pain, stomach disorders, and other chronic conditions? Experts say yes. So, of course, we don't know who the experts are. But I think the copy, this is one of those that I found. I think it was in like it's another one of those advertorials that you find in like Newsweek or one of these other magazines. That
Sky Mall.
Yep.
Sky Mall always has one or two great advertorials in it.
Mm-hmm. So to me, the powerful thing is the question, could this be the last time you suffer from, whenever you ask a question like that, mm-hmm. could this be the last time you suffer from joint pain, stomach disorders, and chronic conditions? Well, here's what they're doing in that. At a certain age, who doesn't suffer from joint pain? I mean, a lot of people suffer from joint pain, right? I mean, that summarizes quite a few people. Stomach disorders, okay? So they've covered between joint pain, stomach disorders, and other chronic conditions, which that's kind of vague.
Yeah.
They've kind of marked out probably 80%, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's like saying overweight, tired, right. Stressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you do overweight, tired, and stress, you're going to hit about 95% of the public.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it's one little small part, right? Because mm-hmm. you always think that everybody else is not suffering from this and you're the only one. So that's, it's interesting because as I was listening to you read that, I was like, it goes against kind of the rule of one mm-hmm. where you talk about one kind of key idea and you don't hone in on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, because this kind of does the same thing in parts. It says, I mean, on the back cover, which a lot of people read first,
right?
It says new stem cell organ discovered. Then it says same thing, banish blood sugar worries, soothe battered joints, harden bones, smooth and strengthen weakened skin. So basically blood sugar or diabetes, cause I can't say diabetes, probably joints, hardened bones, that's osteoporosis.
Yep.
And then smooth and strengthened weakened skin, so saggy skin.
Yeah.
So like that pretty much covers anybody, you know, over my age. Because I'm not there yet.
Not there yet.
But so it's interesting that they do that. But I guess the big idea is still like this new stem cell. It's mm-hmm. and on yours, it's this new pill, this new thing.
Right.
Is the one core pill. Idea. Yeah.
And I think that gets to the core of what people want. You know, mm-hmm. unfortunately, that's the society that we live in today is like we want a simple fix all for everything. Yep. And so they're catering to that demand in our mind. We want like a simple fix, right? I mean, you talk to anyone. I talk to my father, who's someone who's in that demographic. He's 70. He's in his mid 70s, but he seeks. You know, he's one of these generational guys that seeks. You know, or of that generation that seeks a simple cure for everything, a one fix all, a one pill that can fix everything. And you and I know that that's really not the case, but.
Well, he knows it too, but for some reason it keeps working. It's why we keep buying books on persuasion because we want to find that one trick that just makes everything better, right? Or that you know, mm-hmm. one exercise routine that, you know, makes everything better. Like I think we're wired
mm-hmm.
to look for the shortcut, even though we know it's not there.
Absolutely. Yep.
So
I agree.
But yeah, you were talking about, just real quick, you were talking about the question.
Mm-hmm.
I think what those questions do, because you know, this one kind of did the same thing because you mentioned it when I read it.
Yep.
Because I think it ended with, that was somewhere else, I guess. But anyway, yeah, the question, like, I think it opens up, what's the show on the, I think it's the History Channel, like Ancient Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
They always start with the question.
Yep.
Is it possible that...
Mm-hmm.
right? So you're not telling somebody that it's possible. You're asking them, and it opens up just enough like of a gap in their defenses that then you can go in with the rest of your case.
Sure.
Because I think people are just naturally polite. And there's something about questions, and I've read this somewhere, but there's something about questions that we're kind of taught that we need to answer questions, which means we have to at least listen to the question in order to answer the question, right? So whenever we hear a who, what, why, when, how.
Our brains naturally want to figure that.
I think our brain lights up and like, oh, this is important. Somebody's asking me a question.
Right.
Right. So I need to respond. Mm-hmm. So it just opens up an opportunity to get a message in there.
Yep.
So yeah, that's good stuff.
All right. Speaking of questions. Okay. So
were they selling a pill, I guess, or was it something else?
They were selling a pill.
Okay. I didn't know if it was a metaphor or not. So I just want to.
It's a risk-free trial.
All right.
Call now. Okay. All right.
Now? Right now?
Right now.
I'm on a podcast.
Well, you can call
out. We should call the numbers, see if they're still in business. We should call them live on the show.
Dude, let's do it. This is crazy. We didn't plan this to our audience. No. We didn't plan this. But
you do have the little Bluetooth connector to the soundboard. So you might as well put that sucker to use. I mean, it's good you had it for the last episode because our guest was in Lower Alabama.
So keep in mind, this is back from
2012. You said, right?
Yeah.
It said the world would end by 2000, or the
it said
end of medicine would be 2012.
Yeah. So I'm guessing this is. It doesn't show a date, but I'm guessing this is probably 2011. Maybe
we're gonna get some lady in Atlanta or somewhere.
Okay. Let's see.
She's gonna be like, "What you calling thief for?" Because if that one doesn't work, we can call Dr. Sears because he has a.
We will. I can see it. We'll call everyone on.
We're going to start. That should be a new segment on the show. We're going to start calling the numbers and doing audits of websites on the show, like, you know, for all these different letters and everything else.
I love it.
Like, see what they do. Like, are we wowed by their customer service and their order taking or not?
We will see. Let's see if 8 years later that this number is still active.
See how well this miracle pill is selling. Of course, if it's done its job, I mean, maybe they went out of business in 2012.
Oh, there we go. Here we go.
We're drunk dialing at this point.
All right. We got it, man. Here we go. We're dialing for dollars. Actually, we're not going to make anything off of this. Let's see. No. 800. All right, let's get us some of these pills. Let's see what happens.
Thank you for calling Centrum Plus. Calls may be recorded for quality assurance. For more information or to place a new order, please press 1. If you are calling in regards to an order you have already placed, press 2.
Nope.
Well, let's check on our... Let's give them an order. Let's find out about this pill.
Make sure you reference the ad. Getting routed to Sally at home.
This music sucks. Cut this down. All right. Okay, we'll keep them on a minute, and then we'll just cut them off, and we'll go to yours. So after that.
Centrum Plus. My name is Brandon. Can I have your first name, please?
Hey, Brandon. This is my name is Jonathan.
Okay, and was this your first time calling for Centrum Plus or placing a reorder?
No, I'm calling the first time. So I'm actually looking at an old ad that you guys had. Is this about the pill for joint pain and stomach disorders and all these other chronic conditions?
No, looks like they may have changed numbers, sir. This is actually the line for Centrum Plus. It's a topical cream to improve, you know, sensitivity and improve sexual function.
Okay. Well, that's not me, man. I'm sorry. Sean, is that you?
It's not me.
All right. All right, man.
Sorry about that, sir.
Yeah, we got the wrong number. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good
one. You're welcome.
Well, there we go. There's your answer, Sean.
Yeah, he sounded like he was in a call center, didn't he? I thought we were on quarantine. He sounded like he's in a boiler room.
He did. He sounded like he was in a cubicle with about 100 other people. So,
well, So apparently people are not buying that, but they are buying other important items. So, all right. I like that segment though. That could be a regular segment.
We could. Sure. We could incorporate this for sure. Absolutely.
You know what else we could do?
What?
We could just go on copywriters' websites and stuff and just call them. Just call Bob Bly at some point.
Should we start calling copywriters? Should we start? It'd be cool to get some of these marketers just reach out to them unannounced and start having a conversation. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. You'll have to do it from your end because I don't have the Bluetooth set up. All right.
We'll do it. All right. So you've got moving some on. More good stuff. Yes.
Yeah. So this is, you remember our friend Richard Armstrong that was on the show last year?
Yep.
Yeah. So when I originally got this magazine offer, I thought he had written it. So I actually emailed him and I asked him if he wrote it because it's kind of in his niche. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I wish. He said, that thing's like been in control for like 30 years.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess I better save this one then. So it's for a magazine called Harper's Magazine.
Okay.
And on the outside, so it comes in like just a nice cream colored envelope, just a regular, like, whatever is that, six, just a business number 10 envelope, right? Right. And on the outside, it says, inside, how the CIA subverts the U.S. government, Christian singles dating questionnaire, America's emerging caste system, how Wall Street stands to profit from AIDS, stalking the campus thought police, the myth of missing children, how the Pentagon hides $22 billion, the feminist case for pornography, Robert Stone takes a crack at cocaine. And then it says, a fascinating free copy of today's Harper's for Sean McCool. So they use a little personalization down there at the bottom.
Right.
Obviously match it up to the address.
Yep.
And I was like, so this is another one, you know, where they don't use the power of one. They have all these different things hoping to grab your attention with a couple of them. You know, these are what we call fascination bullets.
Right.
And that's on top of my mind this week because I was actually doing, I was reading about the power of one. And I'm now seeing like these examples where it's kind of not the power of one and it's a control. So like all that. So anyway, you open this up and it's like, almost like resume paper, like the linen, like the beige linen paper, like the cream colored, and it's got the fibers in the paper. So really nice paper. So it's got a nice like tactile feel. So you already know you're like, oh, this is not just it's kind of upscale, kind of nice, you know? And the opening copy. So the opening copy is everything. Like if you get that right, everything else, you know, is just kind of extra. So it says over 160 years old and more exciting than ever. If you haven't seen today's Harper's Magazine, let us send you a complimentary issue. So that's okay. I'm like, okay, established, pretty cool. I haven't seen it before. So kind of talking to me. It says, dear reader, a few choice words describe today's Harper's Magazine: intriguing, unconventional, original, invigorating, and fun. A word rarely associated with a serious magazine. Let me add one more word of interest: free. So what I love about this is that kind of that middle section: intriguing, unconventional, original, invigorating, and fun. And I think one of the things that is underused in direct response copy is a good juxtaposition like that, where you're talking about serious and all this stuff, but then you cross it up with a word like fun. Like just from the envelope feel and, you know, the topics on the front, like you definitely have that feel going in that this is a serious intellectual type magazine. So for them to open up, you know, the second sentence with the word fun is like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And that's like just enough to kind of keep your interest and read a little bit further. And then it goes on about why it's, you know, not necessarily fun, but how they've revolutionized America's oldest and most respected monthly magazine, all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it's four pages and four pages to sell a free sample, by the way.
Really?
And you know, most magazines have ditched this long form copy. They've all gone to inserts and
right.
super simple subscribe pages and things like that. But this one is still mailing to this day. And obviously still doing well. So I think it's funny. Everybody says long copy. People don't have attention spans and all that kind of stuff. But even the sales pages with the client I'm working with now, they're pretty long sales pages. They're yeah. designed better. Like, I don't think you can get away with crappy design anymore.
Right.
Or as much. But yeah, I mean, the long stuff is still working for sure.
Well, I think it's like we've talked about time, you know, time and time again. If you can, it's not how long the copy is, it's how long you can keep them engaged. Right. So it's all about engagement, man. If
yeah, it can't be boring.
Right.
If it's two lines and boring, then I'm out.
Yep. You're gone. So, yeah. So after the, you know, after the third paragraph, if you start to lose them, they're gone anyway, whether it's a page yeah. or 4 pages or 30 pages. So,
right.
So anyway, all right.
So what's
your next? I was kind of on that. I was going to follow up our last one on that question, asking a question. I don't know about you, like you said earlier, anytime you ask a question, it's like engages the brain where you want to find a solution or yep. you want to read more to answer the question with your own, you know, based on your own, what you've read and based on your own perspective. So here's one that says, is this the end of joint agony? So obviously
joint agony.
So another one with following up with the tiny pill, and we got a 1-800 number. We can call this one too. so here's the sub headline. World renowned scientist finds a secret. Okay. Keyword secret, to healthy, flexible joints deep inside Australian forest. You know, it's like, okay, you can picture it. Australian yeah. forest, deep inside Australian forest, you know, avoiding all of the, these varmints out there that want to kill you, like the spiders and the, the hunchback or what kind of, I forgot the spinner web spider or whatever that wants to bite you and kill you.
Tasmanian devil.
Tasmanian devil. Okay. So deep inside the Australian forest, is it now possible to erase years of joint problems virtually overnight? A simple solution overnight, right?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need.
I can just hear like some people listening to the podcast are like, oh, that's so cheesy. That'll never work in my market. Yep. And I mean, and I have to remind myself of this all the time. Like nobody wants to write this stuff. But when you do, it works.
Yep.
Like it's so crazy that like you think people are above it. You think mm-hmm. people are onto it. And, you know, we've talked about awareness and all that kind of stuff with Eugene Schwartz and things like that. And people do catch on and people are skeptical. Mm-hmm. But the fact is like there's always a percentage of the people to who this is new. There's always new people coming into the market. I mean, you think about this market, sure. it's, you know, baby boomers,
it would be mostly
10,000, you know, there's 10,000 people a day turning, you know, 65 mm-hmm. and will be for another 10 yep. or 12 years. So, that's a lot of people who start getting joint pains. And now because people aren't as healthy, they're not as active, the people experiencing joint pain is happening sooner and sooner.
Right.
So you have all these new people coming in that have never experienced joint pain before. So they would have never seen some of these offers and these right. ads before. So when they see it, they're like, oh, you know, and they, I don't know what it is, but when you're in pain, like every solution looks, there's more hope involved as well. Like the more pain there is, the more hope. It sounds kind of counterintuitive. We were talking about this mm-hmm. earlier, like, people are super skeptical, but the people who have been burned and everything, they also have in one way, they have a lot more hope mm-hmm. for one thing that will finally work.
Yep.
So that doesn't mean you go around just making false claims or anything, but you also have to understand human nature is we're always looking for that shortcut. We're always looking for the quick fix. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as far as I can tell, it's never going to change.
Yeah. Well, they've got some really good headlines. So here's the first one. Discovery revealed. And then it goes on to say, this discovery was far too important to keep to myself. So I bottled it up and asked myself and asked my distribution company to offer it to everyone. So here's the, you know, he's like, I got to release this to the public because it's way too important.
It's kind of like the reluctant hero type thing, right? You know, yeah. From the, mm-hmm. you know, one of the avatars yep. or the, yep. what was it? The characters from Expert Secrets,
yep.
right? One of those characters or those archetypes is the reluctant hero. Like, you know, I don't really want to be a marketer. I don't want to be a health guru, but I just couldn't keep this mm-hmm. to myself.
Yep.
So it was a lot of work, but I put it in a bottle. I got a distribution company and here it is for you. Cause I yep. just couldn't, I wouldn't feel right going to my grave, keeping this secret to myself.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and like people are like,
man, wow.
Appreciate you, bud. Yeah. Good stuff. And I know we're making fun of it, but like, I think we forget how that does pass through a lot of people. Cause
it does.
And it's easy to say it doesn't work when you're not in the pain. Like what, I don't care what you're selling. If you're selling marketing services, if you're selling, you know, fillers for manufacturing, like mm-hmm. you do, like when it's a pain,
yep.
people want a solution.
Yep.
And if it's not a pain, you're probably not selling to the right person, or you're right. selling a product that is not a pain relieving product. It might be a prevention product or something mm-hmm. else, or an impulse buy or something like that. But even then,
yeah.
like we talked about with Eugene Schwartz, you've got to figure out how to go from something. You got to find that pain somewhere in their life that Absolutely. Your product can connect to. What joint else you got pain. In there?
Let's see. Joint problems vanish. Okay. So here's the product called FlexSolve. 24/7, you'll never need to resort to scary chemicals. And they use the quote in big quotes, big pharma prescribes, right? Oh yeah,
common enemy.
Yep.
Ding, ding, big ding, ding, common
yeah.
enemy.
Yeah, the enemy out there is big pharma. So you don't have to resort to any of their, prescription type, big pharma type drugs. There are too many horror stories. It's not worth the risk. So, and then they go into the, point of if you've spent too many nights tossing and turning with joint problems like I have, you're going to welcome the feeling of a lubricated, well-cushioned, flexible joints and, what that's going to give you. So, I don't know. I think we should just call them and see if they're still in business.
How old is this one?
That's the question. I don't know. I can't see a date on this ad. So let's find out. Right.
All right.
The end of, okay. So
thank
this
you
is,
for calling Veriflex. A representative will be with you shortly.
Okay,
calls
so,
may be recorded for quality assurance. For more information or there, to place yeah, a new name. Order.
Classic example of changing your name, right?
Yeah.
Please make a selection. For more information
one, she's getting mad.
Or to place a new order, please.
Oh, same music. Is this? We're gonna get Brandon again. If we get Brandon again, I'm gonna be like, sorry, dude.
Okay, so this is it's no longer FlexSolve as we just mentioned. This is Theraflex.
Theraflex.
Okay.
Theraflex.
So what do you guys? And FlexSolve probably tanked.
Or this is the new improved formula.
Okay. Yeah.
It not only eases joint pains, it does whatever the next thing above that would be. I don't know what that would be.
So we'll keep it on a minute.
So I want to, so while we're waiting for Brandon to come back on, our special guest.
Probably be the same guy, right? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's sorry.
The same product.
Killing his close rate right now. So I gave an update on the beer. So it's got a weird aftertaste.
Okay.
So it's not like a clean finish. So I'm a little disappointed. Mm-hmm. It has a good flavor going down, but then it's the aftertaste. It's kind of like that weird aftertaste up in your kind of the cheeks. It's just kind of
Right.
Just not good. Kind of like a diet soda aftertaste type stuff, you know?
Okay.
Just disappointing, man. I really liked the idea of a thin mint stout, and now I'm sad. Because
that's terrible. It's terrible. We can only give it a so if we were to give it a rating of 5 pints, this would get we should start our own rating, 5 pints.
Yeah, we'll figure this out after a couple hundred shows.
Okay, so 5 pints, you would give it a
2 pints?
Two pints.
Yeah.
All right.
So 2 pints. We can have a little.
Oh, they just hung up.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, she must have heard us talking and we didn't hear her pick up or him. All right. Well, we tried. We'll have to keep trying this until it works. That'll just add suspense to the episodes. Like, people are like, are they going to get somebody? Are they not? Like, who are they going to talk to? We'll have to call Agora.
We should.
They have a huge customer service department. We'll have to call them.
I'm all for that.
Well, speaking of some Agora, swipes.
I've got some swipes from them.
All right. Yeah, that was my segue. Good job picking that up.
All right. So Bill Bonner, dude, is a master writer. If you can read any of Bill Bonner's stuff, and Sean, you would probably agree. I mean, you've been with Agora. I'm going to give you an excerpt from one of their, this is a great book. I don't know if you have this book, Sean, but it's called Method Marketing from Denny Hatch, who's actually pretty good. He's a pretty good copywriter himself. How to make a fortune getting inside the heads of your customers. This is actually, he's got some really good chapters in this, but one of the chapters he highlights in this book is all about Bill Bonner and just some of the success he had, how he turned, how he created Agora and turned it into, I think over an 18-year period, turned it into like a $50 million or more plus business. I don't know. I mean, it's just
now they've hit over $1 billion.
Yeah, it's
between amazing. All the different divisions and conglomerates right. they are.
Yeah, I think this book was written back in the, I want to say this book was probably written
that's an
back
old
in the
one.
90s. Yeah. Yeah, 1999. So, yeah. But anyway, here's an example of one of Bill Bonner's classic letters. And he always wrote in the Roman type. I don't, you know, in terms of font. So here it is. You look out of your window past your gardener who is busily pruning the lemon, cherry, and fig trees amidst the splendor of gardenias, hibiscus, and hollyhocks. The sky is clear blue. The sea is deeper blue, sparkling with sunlight. The gentle breeze comes drifting in from the ocean, clean and refreshing, as your maid brings you breakfast in bed. Can you picture that?
Yep.
It says, for a moment, you think you have died and gone to heaven, but this paradise is real and affordable. In fact, it costs only half as much to live this dream lifestyle as it would to stay in your own home. That's powerful.
Yep.
I mean, I read that opening paragraph and I'm thinking, holy cow. You know, who wouldn't? And this was written back. This was like written back in, I think, the mid 1980s.
Yeah.
But just thinking about this paradise and how available it is to someone who is, you know, not someone who is in the upper, you know, at the super high end in terms of income.
Right.
You know what? You're thinking that fits my lifestyle. Upper middle class. I could afford that.
Yeah. And last time I heard that was like a 20, 30 year control or something like that. Like it beat everything. Everybody tried to beat it and it couldn't work. Mm-hmm. And I think, I was trying to just look here. I was pulling up International Living, to see if it was like still running on their website, but it may be on a different page or may just be in the mail or something like that. But I can't find it real quick, but, that kind of storytelling is a lost art.
Yeah.
And I think some people think, it won't work, but I think, you know, how in Eugene Schwartz's book, he talks about how you kind of have to go through the different types of, of stuff, then come back around. Yeah. And I think we're at a point now where story will be really powerful again.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think if people take the time to craft a good story and a good visual like that, mm-hmm. that people will buy into it. Cause yeah. it's a little bit of escapism. We're seeing it with, you know, reality TV and, you know, Netflix, you know, different types of Netflix shows yes. and all this kind of stuff. I mean, fact is people have always liked story. Like yeah. it's never really gone out of style. It's just marketers have gotten lazy, I think, because they are harder to write.
Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's not really selling, but the fact is it's selling better and harder. Like it doesn't feel like a hard sell. So the A types want to go straight for the order.
No.
But the fact is, like, the best salespeople in the world that you've met, that I've met, that's the kind of stuff they do.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I love starting stuff with, like, imagine, you know, and getting people.
Oh, yeah. He paints the picture. So you can literally feel yourself, you know, looking out your window, you know, and just kind of feeling the breeze coming in.
Well, here's the thing, like a lot of, and you've got the book. So Eugene Schwartz's other book that nobody talks about, the workbook that I think you bought.
Oh,
it totally slipped my mind as well. So it's not Breakthrough Advertising. It's his other book.
Something anyway. Secret.
Nope, not that.
Nope.
Anyway, it's a workbook on how to write.
Right. Yeah.
Basically. And, you know, what he says in there is you should not be using, basically what he teaches you is you need to use words that create an instant picture in people's minds.
Yep.
And if you counted in that thing you just read, the number of pictures that are created in somebody's mind when they read that compared to most copy.
Yep.
You know, like the actual picture words like window, flower, gardener, like there's so many images that get loaded up in your mind compared to, so read the first line of that again, for instance, like,
okay. And that book, by the way, is The Brilliance Breakthrough.
That's the Brilliance Breakthrough.
All right. So here's the first line again. You look out of your window past your gardener who is busily pruning lemon, cherry, and fig trees amidst the splendor of gardenias, hibiscus, and hollyhocks. The sky is clear blue. The sea is a deeper blue, sparkling with sunlight.
So I counted at least like 11, like super clear, immediately an image pops in my head, you know, the different types of flowers, the gardener, gardenias, the sea, the sunshine, like I can see all of those and I can paint that entire landscape in my head. Mm-hmm. Now you compare that. And again, I don't know how this current thing I'm about to read is doing or why they switched to this or anything else. Right. But I just went on International Living's website. I just clicked the first thing that was like, you know, subscribe. So I kind of went towards subscription. So there's already some interest. So it may not be as good. But it says you might've passed up more than one offer to take a look at our magazine, International Living. Like there's one word there that I can like actually get a word picture, like a picture in my head, and that's magazine.
Yeah.
Like I can picture a magazine. No, those other words can I like picture in my head. And, and that's one thing Eugene Schwartz talks about in The Brilliance Breakthrough is using more words that create an actual picture in your head. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget how it's easy as a writer for sure. And even as a salesperson, when you're talking, to not create word pictures in people's heads.
Right.
Yep. You know, like, we just don't do a good job of describing things.
No.
You know, we kind of default to easier language or whatever, instead of, you know, doing something that's more tangible that people can literally see in their mind's eye. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's why that works and why it worked for so long. It continues to work on and off when they use it. That's my take on it.
Oh yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. There's something, I don't know. I could go through this copy because he goes through in this book, he goes through like his full sales letter for this. Mm-hmm. And it's just every, I mean, it just keeps you engaged the whole time.
Yeah.
And then he talks about, you know, one of his, you know, his call to action in this report is even something that's even I mean, it's not, it's something called the five best retirement destinations in the world. If you ever thought about living overseas and owning a second home abroad, this report can turn your dreams into reality. So,
yep,
there you go.
Yeah, it's a lost art, I think, in a lot of copy.
Yeah,
is to just draw out pictures and things like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah,
And I think it's because we assume that people are too busy to read something like that.
Yeah,
and yet. Beach fiction and romance novels and all that stuff continue to sell like crazy.
Easily.
You know?
Easily.
So the question is not, does it work or not? It does work. It's, are you willing to put in the time to create a narrative or a sales angle mm-hmm. that is based on a story instead of just an offer?
Yeah.
Because it's much easier, right? Just write an offer.
Yeah.
Writing really good features, you know, really good features and benefits and really good offer mm-hmm. is not the same as like coming into it with a story.
Yeah.
So I've preached enough.
No, I think that's a good point. And I want to mention too, like we had our last guest on the previous episode, Abby Woodcock. She talks about like in one of her chapters of her book, she talked about reading lots of other stuff. Mm-hmm. To really familiarize yourself with other things out there. And I know over the years, and you probably heard Dan Kennedy, he's always talked about like, you know, you go to a bookstore, you know, mm-hmm. you go to Barnes and Noble, someplace like that, pick up books on travel, pick up books yeah. on things that you're not familiar with. You yeah. know, I don't smoke cigars, but pick up a copy of Cigar Aficionado, pick mm-hmm. up a book on traveling, pick up a book on, you know, kayaking, you know, outdoors, things like that, understanding like these things and be, what's the purpose of that? He talks about like understanding, have a broad range of understanding, but it being able to incorporate some of these things, some of these stories and some of these things that you bring in from other industries that you're not familiar with into your copy is really engaging.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one, it's, you know, it's timely. Two, yeah. you might just find an interesting angle. I mean, I've done that before and I used to get Fast Company magazine. They have some great mm-hmm. writing in Fast Company, like some of the, I mean, they're really good writing. And I'd be reading a story about a business. Mm-hmm. And the way they told the story, I mean, sometimes I could just use it in a promotion. Sometimes I could just yep. take that, how they were telling the story and apply it to something else. Mm-hmm. Like their openings were always really good and kind of mysterious and things like that. And it hooks you, you know, because they're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to hook you, trying to get you to consume the magazine so that yeah. you want to buy the next issue. Like it's the same thing. Yeah. You know, they're trying to sell more magazines mm-hmm. and trying to keep you engaged in the story. So you flip the page and have to turn over past all the other advertisements. Like, you know, they're selling too. There's, it's kind of a different way.
Oh yeah.
You know? Yeah. But human nature is humans love story.
Yep.
Like we just do. Yep. And if you get good at telling a story, and we've talked about this on, you know, storytelling, different books, mm-hmm. we've talked to authors. And I think the reason we keep coming back to it is because so few people do it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's more work.
Yep. It
really is.
Requires a little research, a little study.
Yeah.
Outside of your comfort zone, so to speak.
Yeah. And you know, it does require a little bit stronger writing skills too. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but a lot of time it does to weave it in and to make the transition and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it takes a little bit more. And by the way, the stories don't have to be long.
Right.
Like it could be an opening, you know, I don't remember how many words that was, 30 or 35 words mm-hmm. kind of is the opening. You know, that sometimes that's enough.
Yep.
So, well, man, good all stuff. Right.
Yeah. I think we're at the end. You know, we had teased last episode, and we'll run this. We'll go with this next episode, but incorporating like, you know, social, you know, cultural events and things like that.
Yeah.
Cultural entertainment into copy today. And I had out, you know, I think from last episode, I had the crypto marketing newsletter where he talks about how to, you know, Ben Settle had a great newsletter on how to incorporate, you know, things in the news, you know, things of interest, news of interest, yeah, cultural events into your copy. He's got like 6 ways to write hot sales copy stories that bring lots of green stuff. So this might be good for our next, one of our next episodes, at least.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about that. And I have a, I don't know if I've talked about it on here before. I created like a little grid that you can use as a template to bring more current events into your story.
Yeah.
Cause that definitely, yeah, that's, one of the clients I'm working right now. We just, they just did a big promotion and they did a challenge, and the challenge was all around this, you know, the virus and being at home and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it was, and several companies have done it. They're not the only ones.
Sure.
You know, basically taking advantage of this time when things are different and you're at home and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And even though most of their market, their buyers are already at home because there are a lot of freelancers, a lot of marketers, things like that, it still worked. Still worked like crazy. Like, cause it's relevant. Mm-hmm. That's the narrative that everybody's at home. Mm-hmm. Even though like you and I, we're still working, there's still this narrative that people are at home and they've got more time. I mean, I don't, but it, that's still the narrative. I don't, and a lot of people I know, they're like, they're busier than ever.
We're not just, yeah, it's funny. I think we're just sitting around twiddling our thumbs, you know, and just like waiting.
Yeah. But the, you know, a lot of people are busier than ever. And then obviously there's a lot of people out of work, but that, you know, that's kind of a certain segment and the restaurant and hospitality and all that industry, and the people that support that. So not to say that, you know, all that's, everything's fine. It's not, but you know, the fact is a lot of people are still working. A lot of people are still doing their thing, but the narrative is there that you can tap into.
Yeah.
And, so we'll definitely talk about that. Also, I booked a guest for next week that I think a lot of our listeners will be very familiar with. So they'll want
to, I've been subscribed to his list for a long time.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to, be fun to hear from him for sure.
Yeah. That's like, not like old school, but like he really kicked off a lot of the internet marketing in a big way. And we're going to be actually talking about the thing that kind of kicked it off and what we can learn looking back.
Yep.
It's probably been 10 years, I would think.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm going to leave it very suspenseful.
Yeah. You know, let's not, we won't give his name away. We'll just say it's a very big name.
Yep.
And, you know, we were talking about last episode with Abby. She's like, you know, Jeff Walker, you know, it's kind of, I wouldn't say right up there with Jeff Walker, but pretty close.
Oh yeah. I mean, it depends on the circle you're in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see how respond to that. But it's funny. And I'll tell the story next week on how that happened, like totally just weird. But we got to send him a link, by the way, after the show. And
I'll send him a Zoom.
So that'll be fun.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Looking forward to it. As always, to all of our listeners out there, you can find us over at Persuasion by the Pint. And if you have comments, questions, I like these on the spot calls, man. We should do some more of these, but love your feedback. You can find us on any of your podcast apps, whether it's Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Pocket Cast, you name it. Do a quick search if you're not already subscribed. And as always, we look forward to seeing you next time. Sean, it's been fun, baby.
All right. See you.
Thanks.